Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. We are here at Rogers Campground Pork Fest, Pork Time Freedom Festival, day number 4.
660-603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight is Ian.
And Jay Noon.
Jay Noon with us on a different day than normal. You got some other things scheduled for this week. So glad to have you in here tonight when we also have with us from, is it Costa Rica right now?
That's right. I'm in Costa Rica.
Mark Edge is with us from Costa Rica. Are you in the capital city, Mark, or somewhere else?
I am not in the capital city.
Okay. Not going to tell us where, though, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want the hit squad coming to get me.
All right. Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, given that it is Independence Day. And starting out with a survey that Americans, not surprisingly, are in a large part clueless about what the point of the 4th of July is. And, of course, we've been pointing this out for years on Free Talk Live, that there's been, for as long as I can remember, a seems like a concerted push to relabel the holiday from Independence Day to the 4th of July. The 4th of July, the day on which you purchase and explode firecrackers from China and buy alcohol and, you know, meat for a barbecue and you throw a big party and you don't really know why, because it's just the 4th of July. It's a day that people do these things, right?
When I grew up, we used to go to New Hampshire and purchase our fireworks because I was
you,
in Massachusetts.
Like you could.
So we'd have to go buy these fireworks, drive across this imaginary border where there's people that have guns, and then go buy these fireworks, which was totally fine, okay to do, and then, you know, literally turn around and drive a quarter mile, and now you're, you know, in violation
now
of Massachusetts
criminal.
Law,
mm-hmm.
and go home and, you know, blow off fireworks. We did that a lot.
I remember hearing it when we first moved here about Massachusetts State Police staking out the fireworks store parking lots in New Hampshire to look for people that had mass plates and then pull them over on the way home. I think they stopped doing that, but that was definitely in the news in the past.
Yeah, there was definitely, and I forget, I think it's Jaffrey, New Hampshire. I think it's Route 202. You know, the fireworks store is, you know, you could, you know, throw a baseball into Massachusetts from the parking lot. And I do remember a story about that. There was basically an undercover cop sitting there, and he would radio cars that would just, you know, go south because the only place to go was Massachusetts.
Right.
And there'd be, you know, and I remember driving through there years ago, and I had gotten hay or something, but everybody just had like six or seven, you know, cruisers kind of, there's like a little like recreational area, and there's like over there, and they had
just lined up to pull people over.
Just pulling people over.
Mm-hmm. So for a lot of people, they don't even have the freedom to set off fireworks in different places in the United States. Not a particularly independent feeling, but I don't think I've ever seen a poll like this before, where according to the-sun.com, looks like a poll has been done by an organization called OnePoll. They spoke with 1,000 U.S. respondents, 99% of whom identified as either a born or naturalized U.S. citizen. And when asked what the 4th of July is meant to officially commemorate, only 59% gave the correct answer, which was the signing of the Declaration of Independence. 41% of them got the question wrong, although 22%...
Was it multiple choice?
I presume so, because they are saying that 22% chose, quote, the establishment of the United States as an independent nation, so it's not as wrong. Those people aren't as wrong as they could be, I suppose, in that case. And only 45% correctly answered the year the very first organized celebration of independence took place, which was 1777, a year after the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776. So 41%, 4 out of 10 people in the United States do not know what the point of Independence Day is. They don't even know, probably, that it's called Independence Day.
So to tell you how old those these people are in this, I wonder how many of those 41% are, say, like, under 25 or you know,
yeah,
or grew up in a city or, you know, something like that. Because it there's definitely huge cultural conflicts in this country between, you know, the rural and the city areas with all kinds of things, especially things just like, and also with, you know, the ones that, you know, are still in some form of public indoctrination, whether it be public school or university.
I can't get too upset about the people who said that it was the forming of the nation or something like that. I mean, I don't know how this was set up, but if you read that and you're like, oh, yeah, that's what the 4th of July is about, I can't call that too up. I can't get too upset.
Yeah, and you know, it makes logical sense. They're not totally off. But, you know, the reason I ask the age is because, you know, especially school for the past couple of generations, they've been more concerned about, you know, what gender you might want to be or pretend to be or your friend is or whoever, gender, mm-hmm. you know, affirmation than they have about actual history. In fact, I just, an uncle of mine passed away, my uncle Kevin, this past winter, and this past weekend we had a family meet up and a little ceremony for him. And I was talking to a couple of my grandfather's sisters, so one woman 79 years old and the other one 75 years old, and they were, you know, got to meet my kids for the first time and had a blast with the kids. And they're like, please teach your children cursive. And these guys are, you know, they worked basically in education a good chunk of their lives. You know, these would be my great aunts. And I'm like, oh, I plan to teach them cursive. I want them to be able to read deeds and titles and, you know, script from, you know, 100 years ago. Because so I said to these guys, I go, why aren't they why are public schools not teaching cursive anymore? And she says, well, because they say everything's done on a computer. And I said, well, I think it's so that in 50 years, nobody can look back 150 years and, you know, see what history actually said. Because all the digital stuff is so easy to just sort of make it whatever you want, to where the stuff that's written in archives or, you know, you might find a book from the 1800s that grandpa, you know, left here or something. These kids won't be able to read that stuff. And she's like, yep, I agree with you. And then the same thing with all the gender stuff. You know, you didn't have all these problems 30 or 40, 50 years ago. And, you know, the public schools are certainly creating them now. And that came right from two women that, you know, spent a lot of their career in public education.
Unfortunately, Jay, I did take a look here to see if they have demographic information on this. And most surveys, you can, you know, dig in and you can actually find the official results, right? Like, this was just being reported by whatever website. And I went to OnePoll's site, and I expected I was going to be able to actually get the full breakdowns, which you would normally be able to get from a poll, but I can't find it. So it would be really interesting to see, you know, what are the age demographics? Are younger people less likely to know what Independence Day is than older people? I mean, it seems like something we could safely presume to be the
case. I think younger people are less likely to be able to find the United States on a map.
Yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, there was some of that kind of stuff going on with the survey, too, according to Study Finds, which is also reporting on the same survey. 4 out of 10 did not know that the right to bear arms is part of the Second Amendment as opposed to the First. I mean, that's trivia, but still, 4 out of 10. And 11% mistakenly believed that the freedom of speech was not part of the First Amendment at all. So 1 in 10 of Americans don't even know that freedom of speech is right there in the First Amendment. Again, 1 in 10, I guess that's not so bad in that particular case. But 4 out of 10 not even knowing what Independence Day is. It's pretty sad stuff.
Well, I think that what I get out of this is when you have 1 in 10 Americans who don't know that the freedom of speech is enshrined in the Bill of Rights, that those people still have the right to vote.
Yeah, they
do. And they probably have. Mm-hmm. And I just would like to hear a defense as to, you know, that 10%, because that 10% has a counterparty. That counterparty is the top 10%, the people who really know what they're talking about when it comes to the Constitution and the governance of the United States and things like that. And the bottom 10% block out all the votes that choose to vote, the bottom 10% that choose to vote, because many of them opt out. But those people block out all the people at the top that vote. And
by that, you mean they cancel those votes.
They cancel those votes out. For if you have, you know, if you've got 10 people voting for Joe Blow and you've got 11 people voting for, you know, Winona, whoever, I mean, it's only that last vote that counted because the other people blocked it out.
Well, I mean, just to be fair to those people, the people at the upper echelons of education aren't necessarily better at voting. I mean, a lot of those people are voting for big government status as well. So they may or may not cancel. I mean, it's hard to really say. I guess you can say that.
I'd rather have people that know what the hell they're talking about vote than people who do not.
I know how to solve that problem.
Abolish voting?
Well,
abolish the government?
I think only landowners should be able to vote.
Mm. And people with a stake in the game?
Right, and that's the way it was at one time. Mm-hmm. And if you're a landowner, you know, how's a landowner going to answer this poll? Right? Yeah. How's someone that owns land? Because there are a certain type of individual that owns land versus, you know, people that don't own land, you know, in general.
What should there be a minimum amount of land, or can I divvy up my acre into, 100 parts and sell 1/100th of an acre to my friends so they can register to vote?
I don't like rules like that.
That's
what will
happen. Because that will happen. Mark's right about that.
But I do know that years ago I had come across some stuff where it was the Indiana Corporation, and every basically landowner had a share in the Indiana Corporation, and this was like from, you know, the 1800s, you know, I don't remember exactly what year. And it's also been 20 years since I've researched this stuff, but this is when I was first getting into like a loyal title and, you know, land patents and stuff like that. But basically, you know, it's landowners, for example, when you're going to go vote at your local town thing, whether to increase the budget or not, it's landowners who are going to have to pay for it. You know, and
right.
So when you have a, you know, a whole bunch of people living in, you know, in the local projects, you know, the Section 8 housing, you know, they all show up and vote because they want to make sure they get theirs. All the parasites show up and vote. Actually, not all of them. At least half of them do. But, like, you know, less than 1% of the productive working class actually show up and vote because, well, a lot of times they got to work.
They're too busy.
They got better stuff to do. Mm-hmm. And the parasite class on election day, town election day, they always have the day off, and it's usually paid, you know, for them, depending on which particular, you know, sector of the parasite you're working for. But and that's the way it was, you know, I believe back, you know, shortly after the Revolutionary War and stuff, that it was landowners who had, you know, who voted because they were the ones that counted. They had.
Was that a constitutional amendment that changed that?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't either. It would be interesting to see somebody make a proposal, like a state rep, to put forward a proposal. And I presume that's going to have to be a constitutional amendment to change it back, at least here in New Hampshire, to see if you could get that to even get any kind of traction.
Rick Humboldt actually did a thing years ago in Henniker. It was in late. It was when he was into Ron Paul. You know, that's how he got into freedom, was Ron Paul. So this was in the early 2000s. He did put some kind of warrant article in for the town to vote on that only landowners that only landowners could vote on particular articles that increased the taxes or increased basically their burden. I don't remember how it was written, and you know, it got some votes, but it wasn't voted in.
Yeah. That's tough because you're going against all the regular people that don't own land, and then they're going to vote it down.
Right.
Yeah, we've got almost 200 years of the whole notion that everybody, one person, one vote. And, I mean, that's in the human scale of things, it's a really short period of time, but, I mean, there's all kinds of plans. One thing I've said is that we already have a test to see whether somebody's qualified to vote or not, and we call it the United States Citizenship Exam. Now, it's not issued to everybody who gets a vote, but it is issued to the people who are not born within the plot of the polygon known as the United States. And in that manner, we have a test for who gets to vote and who doesn't. So why not administer that test to everybody? What difference does it make what piece of mud you happen to have been pushed out on? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would say that that might be a solution. But again, I don't think any of these things are particularly likely. And this is one of the reasons why I picked up and left the United States, because all the solutions, all the good ideas put out by all the earnest good people are simply going to be ignored. I mean, when Donald Trump decided he wasn't going to take the time to even think about administering the metric system, and I know that this is a weird thing to harp on, but, you know, I'm like, yeah, this guy could get anything he wants to get done, and he's just, you know, busy tweeting away. And, you know, like, it's just... It's doomed. It's where the deck chairs are on the Titanic. And we know how that ends up.
Yeah, I think most of us on this show would agree with the assessment that the United States is doomed. It's only the question is how much longer does it have? How many more years? Because, by the way, 250 years is coming up in 2026. I'm correct about that.
I don't think that this country is 250 years. It is near that. I think basically. What the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, the Constitutions, all these freedoms, that all came to a sudden halt in 1864 with Executive Order Number 1.
What was that?
Executive Order Number, I believe it was March 31st, 1864, is when, and I could have that date a little wrong, is when Abraham Lincoln called on a militia to come stand guard at Washington, D.C. So this was basically the very beginning of the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we got to Clinton, I believe that there was over 10,000 executive orders. And so
there was never one before Abraham Lincoln. He was the first one.
That was number one.
Wow.
Unless somebody wants to correct me.
That's amazing.
So basically the Constitution was set aside, mm-hmm. and was no longer in effect because the government was operating under basically martial law. And then in 1867, we had the Reconstruction Acts of 1867, which is basically where our modern form of federal government down sort of control started, best I can tell. And the other thing, too, is, you know, with voting. So I like the idea of, you know, and I used to like this a lot more when I was like more of a, you know, staunch conservative 20 years ago. But if you are a welfare recipient or a government employee, if you're, you know,
shouldn't be able to vote.
Seems
fair.
My neighbor should.
You might be able to get that one to pass.
You might be able to.
The right circumstance.
My neighbor should be able to vote for anything that there is to vote for, whatever, however he feels, as long as his vote doesn't impact my rights.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was really the whole premise, as far as I'm concerned. Like, that's a sum of what the Declaration of Independence, you know, was about. That you do anything you want, as long as you don't violate anyone's life, liberty, or property.
To that same end, the government employees should also not be allowed to come and testify to the state house. Because if you ever go to the state house in New Hampshire, it's very accessible. Anybody who wants to can come down there and testify on any bill. Every bill gets a public hearing, so very easy to go down there and be heard. But the problem is, most of the people testifying there, besides, there are a bunch of free staters, and they're doing a great job, but most of the people testifying are government bureaucrats who are down there advocating, police officers, Department of Transportation, you know, you name it. If there's a bill that could possibly expand their power, they're on the spot ready to testify in favor of why they should have more power and they should have a bigger budget and more control. And it's just so hard for the average person to take a day off of work and get up there. You have to really be dedicated to go to that state house. But these government bureaucrats, they get paid to go to the state house.
There was, I was 2017, I was there a bunch at the state house just mm-hmm. watching these bills, and there was a guy, he represents the Chief of Police Association or something, he
said. Oh, yeah.
And I think he was a Laconia Chief of Police or I forget what town, but I talked to mm-hmm. him for a minute. And
old white-haired guy.
Yeah. And I said, so you're getting paid to be here today? He kind of, he didn't really want to answer me. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, it's part of my salary. Mm-hmm. And, you know, finally was his answer.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of hay, there's a whole bunch of DCYF social workers. We've been looking at their, you know, I had a good meetup about a month ago with J.R. Hull, and he's been doing, you know, State Representative J.R. Hull,
mm-hmm.
and he's been doing a bunch of research. A whole bunch of these social workers are making like 40, 50 grand a year just in overtime. They're like, God. You know, yearly paychecks, like over $100,000 a year.
Just to ruin people's lives.
And they're all just miserable, stupid people. It's incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, the parasites really got out of control. In fact, when I run for state rep again, one of the things I want to do is promote or be part of my campaign is the government needs an ivermectin treatment. Or the state needs to be dewormed.
Deworm them.
Because we got a lot of these like nasty parasites in the state that would serve no purpose in a free economy. But there are a lot of like positions in the state that would actually, you know, exist in a free economy.
Sure, like
you
know, snowplow repair, guy.
Stuff like that, infrastructure.
Right.
But anyways, yeah, we the state needs an ivermectin treatment in a bad way.
Are you going to run again next year?
I think so, okay. As long as my wife lets me.
You got to keep up the momentum for sure. If you want to comment here, it is Independence Day. The number is 603-283-6160. Related story from the New York Times about people who aren't feeling particularly patriotic. Headline, no sparklers for these folks. Growing up in Benton, Arkansas, Malaya Tapp loved celebrating the 4th of July with her family. She said we'd go to parades and see fireworks shows and hang out with friends. It was always such a fun holiday. But now that she's an adult, she's 18 and entering college next year, commemorating the holiday isn't so simple. It started in 2020 when the Black Lives Matter movement spotted many of the injustices across the country. She said, I lost a lot of my patriotic feelings. She now lives in Atlanta, also realized that many festive components of the 4th of July just aren't palatable for her. And, regardless of how you feel about the issue that might have brought her out of her patriotism, the fact is this is true for a lot of people. As the federal or state or local government begins to set its sights on more and more of our friends and family members or us directly, that is what it's going to take in a lot of cases to shake people out of their slumber and get them to pay attention to what's actually going on. And it will absolutely ruin those people's patriotism when they realize that this isn't the free country they thought it was.
My dad used to always say, people don't care about freedom. They don't care about defending yourselves. They don't care about like what goes on at court or any of those things. Until their ox gets gored.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, your ox, you know, 200 years ago, if you weren't able to use your ox to pull your plow or to, you know, get your wagon of goods to market, your family might starve to death and not make it through winter. So, and there was a lot of people that they didn't pay attention to things until something bad happened to them.
Unfortunately, that's what it takes. I mean, you can, story after story after story can hit the news and they can just rationalize it away by saying, oh, well, it's just a few bad apples. Most police are good. And it's not until that the cops show up and shoot their dog or throw a grenade in their baby's crib that they actually finally realize that there is a serious problem. And it's not just a few bad apples, or that the rest of the saying is a few bad apples spoils the bunch. Of course, nobody ever says that part. The number here is 603-283-6160, just like how almost no one even calls this holiday Independence Day. So it's important to remember when somebody wishes you happy 4th of July, you can just bat it back at them and say, happy Independence Day. Just remind them.
That's what I do.
Yeah, exactly. There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us on Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. The U.S. and Russia are in talks about a possible prisoner swap involving a Wall Street Journal reporter. That's according to a Kremlin spokesperson who also noted that talks must be carried out and continue in complete silence. Evan Gershkovich is accused of spying by Russia. Beachgoers in New York keeping their eyes on the water this July 4th after a shark attack on a young swimmer.
Monday at Robert Moses State Beach, a 15-year-old girl suffered some wounds to her leg after she was bitten.
A shark attack at the lifeguard station.
A few hours later, about 7 miles away on Kismet Beach, a 15-year-old boy who was surfing was bitten by a shark on his left foot. Meantime, Tuesday morning, there was a shark sighting on Robert Moses State Beach Field number 4, and people were asked to get out of the water. Lisa G., New York.
I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of 7 herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up what you want. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking a little bit about independence and Independence Day. Last night I said we were going to get into a story about Northern California's secession. We never got to it, so hopefully we'll have a chance to do that here tonight with you. It's Ian.
And Jay.
And Mark.
We also have Mark joining us from somewhere in Costa Rica. Of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. The number is 603-283-6160. Also discussing 4 out of 10 Americans don't even know what is being celebrated on Independence Day. Of course, the question was, you know, what is being celebrated on the 4th of July? So, and I think that comes from a wide level of propaganda that is out there in the mainstream media and from politicians. I saw Joe Biden on social media today from his account, which is probably not run by him, run by his handlers likely, but Joe Biden's handlers posting a happy 4th of July meme. So at government levels, at press, you know, levels, media levels, you constantly see people referring to the holiday as the 4th of July. It's just been programmed into people to wipe away any kind of thoughts of independence. And again, if you want to comment, you can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160. A survey by YouGov, well, according
just to be just yes. to be completely fair here, it's not independence for you on Independence Day. It's independence for the United States government from the British government. Like That's what the purpose is. I get
I don't
it,
know if there was a United States government at the time the declaration was
there certainly wasn't. As a matter of fact, it was a bunch of individual states that put out a declaration. They came together and put out a declaration. And by the way, the term "we the people" doesn't come around for another close to two decades.
So then that would argue against what you're saying, and that would be that those people were declaring independence together from the king and his government, and that they didn't even have a real government to replace it with at that point.
Well, how's this? Fine. It's the independence of 13 nations from Great Britain.
Okay.
And to further comment on what you had to say about the government, U.S. government has the independence. Actually, the U.S. government just has a monopoly on violence. In fact, they are totally dependent on people being dependent on the state. This is why Health and Human Services wants to make sure that there's as many drug addicts as possible in every city. Just ask any EMT who responds to a heroin overdose. If the guy who did the heroin overdose or the opiate overdose, has an EBT card, and they're going to be like, oh yeah, they all do. In fact, I can't recall any of them that don't, because Health and Human Services wants to make sure they keep on, doing their drugs. So we have a codependency issue, so the government is very dependent on, a serfdom class, a slave mm-hmm. class of consumers and producers, and also.
And they're making more of them all the time.
And they're very dependent on a whole useless class of people who just, sit there and, are in a hunched over position, constantly because they're getting whacked out on, the cheapest high they can find on the street, which today I guess is, fentanyl.
Heroin.
And of course, all that stuff is very much government subsidized. It's all brought into the country by the government. It's all distributed by the government.
Those videos of those junkies on city streets are just heartbreaking.
Kensington Street, Philadelphia, is like the scariest ones. But even like Venice Beach and
San Francisco.
It's
Portland. Seattle, there's so much of it.
And it's a direct result of a government requiring, the government is dependent on that to be out there. So here we can, we need to take care of these people. This is the example, this kind of stuff. And also, but the fact is if the product, if all we got to do to really limit government now is the easiest in history is just stop trading in their coin. Stop using their script,
They're not making it easy, I'll tell you that. I mean, they're making it very difficult to get into cryptocurrency. I mean, we were talking with Aaron Day about it over the weekend, the Republican presidential candidate, the only one that actually, is a liberty-minded person. He's a free stater. He wrote a book about it, and it is, it's harder than it's ever been. I mean, they want people to be ready to be taking on their central bank digital currency. They want people to think that the central bank digital currency or the CBDC is the same thing as Bitcoin. It's a digital currency. You don't need this Bitcoin stuff. In fact, we're going to make it hard for you to even get Bitcoin. That's what they're trying to do.
I wonder how well the drug dealer is going to adopt the CBDC. Because right now you can go down. There's tons of ways in any big city in America where there will be someone who will be willing to sell you, their EBT card, all the groceries on it for 25%, 50%.
Just so they can get some cash for some drugs.
Yeah. Right. So the big thing is that the drug dealers are going to have to be able to take this, central bank digital currency in order to, make that work because, I'm sure there'll be a way for them to do it.
I mean, they're not going to get rid of cash the next day, so they're going to have cash for some amount of time. But you're right, that will be a real challenge for them if and when they eliminate cash from the economy. Because drugs are still going to get sold. They're still going to figure out a way, but what sort of creative
ways? Well, it's not just they're going to get sold. I mean, this is the Jay's point, and it's pretty valid, is that we know that the United States government has been involved in shipping drugs into the United States.
Mm,
now,
sure, the CIA.
How involved, we can't prove.
The military.
But we know that it's true.
Yeah.
Is it 1%? Is it 99%? I don't know. But it makes sense that they built the prison industrial complex to incarcerate their competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. We're not there yet. And I don't know how long it's going to be from the implementation of the CBDC to the elimination of cash. That's their plan.
I suspect that the CBDC is really going to just bring a massive hyperinflation within the CBDC itself. Mm-hmm. Because, Well, first
that's
off,
the plan. Yeah,
in order,
absolutely.
If that's the only way you can pay me for a service, like, for example, that's the only way you're
you
able to pay.
You can't have a CBDC account. You don't have a social security number.
And, well, I mean, I could probably get one if I really wanted to, like, you know, sign up for their system somehow or maybe get a number or something, which I'm not going to
do. That? Yeah.
Right. But, like, you're not going to get my service.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but I've found ways to have people, you know, use a credit card, for example, to pay me. And they'll pay me 50% more or 100% more, for example, to do something or a check because, you know, I got to, like, send it to some third party somehow to, make
it's a
it
hassle.
Work.
It's a hassle.
And, actually, it was something I had to do a lot before cryptocurrency became. Mm-hmm. You know, I couldn't buy anything on – I never bought anything basically online or on Amazon until Purse.io came out.
Oh, rest in peace, Purse.io. The news just came out within the last 24 to 48 hours that it almost died a few years ago, and then somebody rescued it, and now it's apparently been bought by some other company, and that other company just shutting it down.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's over. Apparently, though, there is a competitor, and our co-host Chris Wade mentioned what it was the other day. I'll see if I can pull up the URL. Obviously, I haven't tried it because I'm not allowed to use crypto. But for those that did love Purse, Chris Wade, our co-host on Friday nights from Freedom Decrypted, recommends BitOff, like BitOff, like you bit off more you can chew, BitOff.io, which apparently allows you to buy from more than just Amazon. Apparently, you can do different websites like, I think, Walmart maybe, or eBay or something like that.
And Walmart's actually a lot of people, I'm not a big fan of like any of these big corporations, but like Walmart, a lot of people are saying is better than Amazon, and it's basically like the same Amazon experience. When you go on
the website,
I guess to buy it and they ship it to you. But I haven't used it yet. But that's nice to know we can access some Walmart through crypto that way. And
like I said, I haven't tried it. Don't know if it's great. Don't know if it's really crappy. But I've heard that there are discounts available. So that was the old reason why people used Purse was because you could not only spend crypto, but you could also save 5, 10, 15, 20%, sometimes more.
What I really liked about Purse is that most of the people who were buying, you know, me, the item on Purse were these guys like in Indonesia who were working for Amazon and getting paid in some kind of Amazon credit.
And turning that into crypto.
So they were turning that into crypto. So I really like the fact that, you know, these poor people, you know, who are working are exposed to it. They're exercising it. They're using it because it's just going to make them more resilient in the future.
Well, and that goes to the point that Americans aren't willing to, and I think it's true for people in general, they're not willing to change until they're forced to in a lot of cases. And when it comes to money, the force is coming when it comes to the CBDC. They are going to start shoving that down people's throats as much as they can when it finally gets approved. It hasn't been approved yet. It isn't a done deal. It could somehow not happen, I suppose, at this point. But Aaron Day thinks it's coming within the next 12 months.
I think go ahead, Mark.
I'd like to pop in on this one. Let's remember what happens when the government tries to innovate in the areas of currency. Does anyone remember the presidential dollars?
No.
These coins, they look like the kinds that you'd get in your Easter basket of little gold coins. They're golden, and they were a bit larger than a quarter, and they had each of the presidents on them.
When did these come out?
Probably 10 years ago.
I remember them.
Yeah, and they're not even that old. Now, these were put out by the Federal Reserve because dollars, you'll note.
I remember the one with the Sacagawea on it. That was also kind of golden or whatever.
I got a little interesting factoid about that one, but let me get back to that. The dollar notice that the $1 bill is not shaped or not printed like the rest of the bills.
What do you mean?
So the $5 has Abraham Lincoln's head real big, right? It used to be small, but it's real big.
Yeah, they
now
never redesigned the one. You're right.
It all started with the 100 and worked its way down to the 5.
That's true.
But they don't do that with the 1 because the 1 isn't going to get a redesign. It
Why
is
not?
Garbage. Well, think about what $1. $1 would buy you 2 candy bars when you were a kid.
Yeah, not anymore, station, right?
Right?
Yeah,
$1 won't buy you one candy bar now.
Right. Yeah. The 2 is the new one.
The five is a new one.
Yeah,
you used to carry $2 bills around.
I still do.
And give them as tips.
I still
do. Now you give two as tips.
Yes.
Because the currency is devalued so much. Well, it makes perfectly good sense that Americans should adopt a $1 coin, because a coin will last much longer than a bill, but they won't do it because they don't have to do it. And so the two things that you pointed out, that there will be pressure, well, there's pressure to adopt these $1 presidential coins, but nobody's doing it.
I don't remember any pressure at all. I don't even remember the coins.
Well, I think that there'll be about the same amount of pressure with the CBDC, because the government's really bad at soft pressure.
Oh, no, dude, no. They're gonna require everybody to, I mean, if they don't do this, they're fools. They're gonna require everybody on welfare to switch over to the CBDC.
Absolutely.
And they're gonna require anybody to get a tax return.
So I think this is gonna be fantastic.
Well, They should pull all $1 bills out of circulation.
No, they're going to do the reverse. They're going to pull the hundreds out of circulation. They're going to pull the 50s out of circulation.
They've already pulled the $1,000 bills out.
And the $500
bills. Long ago.
So the reason I say I think this is going to be fantastic, if we look at the introduction of the CBDC, like they pushed the COVID-19 vaccine on everybody. Now, I'm not picking on anyone, but anyone who did not take the COVID-19 vaccine does not regret not taking the COVID-19 vaccine.
That's pretty much true, yes. And a lot of people who did take it regret it.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of them are dead at this point.
Yep. So anyways, there's good. If you took the COVID-19 vaccine, there's some protocols you can find out there. Naturalnews.com maybe that's what it is, Health Ranger Mike Adams. He has some pretty good write-ups on how to, like, get that stuff out of your body, how to heal yourself, things you
can do. Some 30-year-old bodybuilder just died.
Yeah, I saw that.
After he had gotten like four of these vaccines, he ended up regretting it. Apparently, I saw an interview with him where he was talking about how he had his blood was, he tried to have his blood cleaned, where they like siphoned the blood out of his body and put it through some kind of process. Yep. Didn't save him.
Yep.
He's gone.
And then like the sperm samples of men who have gotten a vaccine, there's like no living sperm, no actual sperm. It's all like spike proteins.
Oh, and by the way, the 30-year-old bodybuilder, he said that when they were pulling his blood, they were looking at it and they saw those little white things that you've seen in the, what's the video that they came out with, Died Suddenly, I think was the name of the documentary, where they're showing all these crazy things that people are pulling out of their veins that are like blocking their heart and blocking their blood flow. He saw those before he died.
So anyways, just like, you know, now, you know, and it's going to get a little more, you know, relevant here in the near future. You know, everybody's kind of understanding that there was this massive push to do this vaccine. So people are understanding these vaccines are not safety tested. In fact, there is not a single double-blind placebo test done on any vaccine that is on the child vaccine recommendation, which they scare the hell out of moms with, threatening them with social services and DCYF if they don't, you know, vaccinate their kids at the hospital. And, you know, sudden death, infant death syndrome didn't really come about until these, you know, they started pushing all these vaccines. But getting back to the CBDCs, so what I'm hopeful for, these CBDCs are going to come out. Then they're going to say, all right, all welfare recipients, all EBT card, now you have to use CBDC. And then what's going to happen is,
they're going to get all the corporations on board too.
Well, here's what's going to happen. I think we're going to say this is going to bring on in America what we saw in Venezuela a decade ago, come about with all the food shortages. Because what it's really going to come down to is if they're going to force the farmers to accept CBDCs, because the grocery stores and the retailers are going to accept these CBDCs, and then the warehouses are going to accept them, and then the farmers.
But the grocery stores and the warehouses the grocery stores have to accept food stamps currently,
right?
And they're not making farmers accept food stamps, right?
But so they're accepting food stamps. And they're trading back, and those food stamps are represented in USD and dollars. So
that's what's getting settled into their bank account. Right?
But here's what's really, I think, is going to happen. Now, what I'm saying is a little speculation about, like, going back to the farmers. So, like, these farmers aren't going to accept CBDCs. Well, all the farmers that are selling stuff to Walmart are government subsidized anyways. So what's going what is going to happen is the what they can do with the CBDCs really easy is they can hyperinflate the crap out of them.
Sure.
And so what's going to happen is because the price of food is going to skyrocket as soon as you start giving everyone on welfare these CBDCs to do the food. And what's going to happen is like so I'm a food producer. You're not paying me that.
Mm-mm.
I'm not taking that evil script. And I don't even want to take dollars from anybody. I take a minimal amount of dollars. And so what I believe is going to happen is the CBDC is going to hyperinflate, and then the dollar will be sort of like running alongside of it. All these fiats are going to hyperinflate, and it's going to sort of hopefully collapse this legacy system. And the people who will be able to ride out this collapse are the ones that are, you know, have experience trading outside of, you know, the fiat, for example, using cryptocurrency, using mm-hmm. gold back, using silver, or just using barter, whatever you do, whatever you produce, whatever your skill is. I think we're going to see a lot of that coming back. And this is another reason I'm so glad I'm on this land we call New Hampshire, because there are so many people that I just trade with here, and we trade outside the dollar, and it's a very, very normal thing. In fact, sometimes, like at Pork Fest, for example, if you're like, "Oh, I want to pay in dollars," people kind of sort of give you a dirty look. You know, they want that gold back or that, you know, Bitcoin Cash or Monero. Monero is a hot one. That's the mm-hmm. one a lot of people are like. Oh, pay me a Monero.
I at Pork Fest bought a blowgun from a 10-year-old with Monero.
Nice.
That's pretty sweet.
So, but getting back to these currency, I think as I had said earlier, you know, the easiest way to essentially deal with a bad government is right now in history, because 200 years ago, it would have been very hard to just ignore, you know, the currency, you know, of the world currency, which would be the English pound, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. You know, 250 years ago.
Yeah.
Today we have that technology. We can just pretty much almost ignore the dollar.
Yeah, that's true.
And maybe except for paying property taxes. But if the dollar starts getting ignored on a massive level within the United States, which is the last place it's basically being ignored, so with all of these countries joining the BRICS, actually, and one other thing I was thinking too, can New Hampshire just join the BRICS?
I don't think yet.
You know, can we do it? Can we just trade directly our gold backs with Vladimir Putin for cheap oil? That's what I want to do.
You're getting ahead of yourself.
Right,
Dave.
Right.
We got a little ways to go on that one.
But anyways, if you know, the next revolution, I believe, is going to be a financial revolution.
They're pulling out all the stops to put that thing down. They want to kill cryptocurrency in the cradle, and I think they're a little too late on that, but they're making it as hard as possible. Aaron Day, in his book The Final Countdown, does do a really good job of introducing people to these ideas, talking about the CBDC, talking about the the UN and the IMF and the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, all these big international, big government, world government organizations that are pushing countries towards the CBDC and giving people literally step-by-step instructions on how to protect themselves financially by getting into cryptocurrency, getting into self-custody, precious metals. And I got to say, I really thought it was a great book. I read the whole thing. So if you are hearing us talking about
And you don't read many books.
I don't. So and you're wondering, really, what can I do about this? You know, you see the dark clouds on the horizon. You're wondering, what do I do? You can do this stuff, and he makes it as simple as, like, you know, 15 minutes. I mean, you can just get cracking on this, and within a matter of an hour, you've got a little bit more financial independence.
And the greatest way as anyone in the world can exercise dependence, I believe, is exercising trade outside of fiat, trade mm-hmm. outside of the dollar of whoever the crown is around you. You know, so in the U.S., trade outside that U.S. dollar. Stop writing checks. Stop swiping cards. Stop using Venmo. Stop using, you know, all these, you know, dollar-based apps, especially these digital ones. Because another thing, too, is like, you know, a friend of mine comes to buy some, you know, meat off me one day, and she's like, "Can I pay in Venmo?" I'm like, no. Why are you doing that? You don't have, you know, $100 worth of meat. You don't have $100. You know, keep $100 in your. Oh, I got a bank account. Can I write you a check? I'm like, no.
Nope.
And I'm like, have you not been paying attention to, like, what I'm about and what I'm doing? And she's like, oh, not really. You know. So kind of, you know,
jeez.
Yeah. And she's good. She's a really great mom. She can stack hay. Her kids are awesome. She's just, You know, but she's learning. You know, it's a learning curve for everyone. So, you know, she...
And I think that's important, is to understand that we were all there at one point, and that it's easy to get frustrated with people when they aren't where we are in whatever the area is that it's important to us. But everybody just needs education, and people learn best from somebody with a good attitude.
Yeah, that's true. And it is important to be able to say no and turn somebody down. I know Chris Wade was doing this at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, where he would come up to a vendor. You know, he's hungry, he wants to get some lunch, and like, hey, I'd like to get your tacos. Do you take goldbacks or cryptocurrency? And they might say, no, cash only. He would say, I'm sorry, and then turn around and walk away.
He was one of the guys that sort of complained in passing to me about not cooking at Pork Fest.
Well, you are a really good cook.
And his was like, oh, I miss your tacos, and he's like, and you'll take goldbacks and cryptocurrency, and I don't even have to ask you. I just scan your QR code you got displayed right there.
There was a taco place that was taking goldbacks.
Oh, that's good. Well, so. He might not have found it, but he just made that comment to me, you know, so.
But there was a taco place that was only doing cash, and I was like, come on, do you guys know where you are? But yeah, being kind to people is certainly good, but also being willing to put your foot down in a kind manner is also important, where you can say no and turn away from a deal. And that kind of thing is what motivates people. Like this lady you're talking about, you're telling her, no, I'm not going to take a check. No, I'm not going to take Venmo. Well, she knows you're good at what you do. She knows that you're whatever it was, whether it's hay or you know, you're working on some sort of construction project or whatever. She knows you're good at it, and she's then going to be motivated to figure out how to get you paid, because to her it's worth whatever that extra hoop jumping is, whether it's going and buying some gold backs or acquiring some cryptocurrency. She might be more likely to do it.
Yeah, so she actually, so I gave her the meat. I said, well, I'll see you later, you know, just pay me next time I see you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was gonna take some dollars. I gotta spend dollars, you know, pay taxes and buy fuel and stuff like that. But 2 days later she said, I set up a Bitcoin wallet and I bought some Bitcoin.
Wow, nice.
And I sent her an address, and she sent me money.
Yeah, perfect. If you want to join the show here, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. So, you know, we don't know how far away the CBDC is. There's certainly other countries that are implementing them and have implemented them. There, a lot of them are talking about it, and the United States has done at least 3 different tests of different CBDC plans and systems. So, like, the gears are turning on this. The only thing they haven't done is actually press the go button on this thing.
How many more guns are they going to need to point at people all over the world to make this thing work? It's going to be expensive to make it work, I think.
There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160. Whether you want to comment on Independence Day or whatever is on your mind, secession talks happening in a Northern California county. We'll talk about that as well. You can join the show. The number is 603-283-6160 here on Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.